Welcome back to the Gardening with Joe and Holly Radio Show. How are you doing today? We are doing fine, and we thank you for being with us. Simple Grow, Holly, is a product in which we can add to our gardens to help our plants grow better.
Are you worrying about your plant growth? Provide your plants with what they need to grow to their potential. Simple Grow offers 100% organic worm castings, and you can find that at simplegrow.com. Unlike other worm casting products, when you order from Simple Grow, you are getting 100% worm casting, not filler plus castings. Promote ideal soil structure and aeration with Simple Grow all natural and odor-free worm castings. There's only one ingredient, worm castings. No chemicals or additives will seep into your food, and it doesn't smell like other fertilizers. For indoor and outdoor use, you can buy by the bag, bundle, ton, or truckload. Check out what they have at simplegrow.com. 100% worm casting, simplegrow.com.
All right. Well, we're going to get into the question and answer here. We've got two segments. We got a lot of questions that came in, so we're going to tackle as many as we can get through. And let's go with the first one here, Holly, which is, do potatoes need to be healed as they grow? The potatoes I purchased say nothing about healing them after they start growing. Thank you for the help.
Well, you don't have to heal them after they start growing. You can plant them in little hills or trenches. What we do is we dig a trench 3 to 4 inches, plant the potatoes, and then hill them with a mound about 6 inches or so, and then just let them be. So that would be kind of hilling when you plant.
Right. And some people don't hill them at all. They will simply just dig a trench and then just cover them over. The purpose of the healing them, H-I-L-L-I-N-G, is to prevent the tubers from being exposed to sunlight, causing them to turn green. And based on whom you believe, the experts say that the greenness in the potatoes has a toxicity that can agitate your digestive system. So there you go. All right, next question, Holly.
Right. So which is better, landscape fabric versus plastic landscape fabric? Which one might be better and why?
Well, how much time do we have? Landscape fabric and plastic, the purpose of them are to prevent weeds from coming up and to allow moisture to penetrate through. Based on the tightness of the woven fabric of the landscape fabric, it will determine how much moisture is actually getting through and what material is on top of that landscape fabric, meaning that if you have wood chips or lime rock dust, rock with dust in it, it can clog those areas of fabric, the porous areas, and prevent any moisture from getting down to the soil where your plants need it. If you have an irrigation system that is placed on the soil and then you put a landscape fabric on it or a plastic weed barrier on top of it, that can fix or help the situation by suppressing the weeds and then also allowing the moisture to get into the plant root system. So it can go either way. Yes and no. It's good and bad. There are some landscape fabrics and some plastics that are now more biodegradable, that they're not just going to sit in the landfill forever. If composted correctly, they will break down to some state. That's really about all there is to that. Plastic versus a fabric, woven plastic to some degree. Now, with that being said, there is a more of an organic type of landscape fabric, so to say. There is an environmentally friendly weed guard. It's organic, and it can save some work and money. It's OMRI listed. Certain companies carry this, but essentially, what that is, a 3 foot wide or 2.5 foot, 3 foot wide giant roll of paper that you lay down and you use soil or rocks or mulch on top of it, and it will break down over time. But again, unless you have an irrigation system underneath, water can pool on top of any of these and cause some damage if you are next to a home or foundation. And buyer beware, do your research. There are applications where they are wonderful for, and there are applications where it doesn't work and you shouldn't use it.
Right, and that's something that is definitely to keep in mind, for sure. So let's see what our next question is.
How do you prepare Jerusalem artichokes? I planted them last year, dug some up in the fall, ate them raw, as I thought I should, and was read that I could. And now I have also read you can dig them up in the spring before they begin to grow.
Yes, so that's correct. You can dig them up. We put them in like a roast, and we bake them. You can also just we put them in the air fryer. You can eat them raw. Like, you make them as chips in the air fryer.
The key to making them in chips in the air fryer is you got to peel them. No matter how much you scrub these Jerusalem artichokes off, there is still that permeation of dirt flavor in the skin. So you want to peel them, chop them into small chips sizes, coat them with olive oil, and then fry them in the air fryer. Based on if you want them crunchy or a little soft, taking that skin off is the key. It makes a tremendous difference. There's still that earthy tone to them, but it's not slappy in the face. It's like you ate a handful of compost with that skin on. So that's the way we found to be kind of – and you can plant them right now. In most areas of the country, you can plant them, and they'll come back year after year now, after year. Yes.
Word to the wise.
Yes.
If you've never grown Jerusalem artichokes or you're new to it, or maybe now you're like, I really like growing them – or whatever. If you have never grown them, they do have this component in them called inulin. And a lot of times it reacts with your GI system, your digestive system, and it does make you gassy. Now, if you're okay with that, that's fine. But I'm just pre-warning because many people don't realize this. And yeah, so there's that. So, you know, you don't want to go ham if you've never had them before and eat all the sunchokes. You might want to kind of ease yourself into it.
It's difficult to find Jerusalem artichokes in general because they don't have a tremendously long shelf life. I think there are some organic grocery stores in the fall you can get them, but they're
– I've never really seen them.
Right.
It's something that you just have to grow, I think, essentially. It's not like something that is available.
Right. There's a white variety and a burgundy variety. And you can keep that in mind and grow them. They say that they're invasive. We've not had that level of invasiveness that we have witnessed. It's not like mint, where they're going to shoot runners all over the yard, or a raspberry plant. They will, in the confinements of that area in which you've planted them, they will creep out a foot every year or so if you don't trim back or cut back, dig up the ones that are reaching out of that
area.
But
they're not as invasive as other as other plants. So here's our next question. Okay. Is I'm interested in knowing if it's legal to turn the lawn of my backyard into a vegetable garden. Is that legal or are there restrictions?
Well, you want the G. Gordon Liddy answer, or do you want the actual?
I don't think I want to answer this question right now.
Shoot it, shovel it, and shut up about it. We've talked about this on the program. I mean, G. Gordon Liddy was a very prominent talk show radio host in the, I guess, 80s and 90s from Florida. And he said people get in trouble whenever they start boasting about what they've done than if they just did it and was quiet about it.
That's just it.
There are restrictions in some municipalities.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Is that if you have an HOA for...
What is an HOA for those who...
It's like a housing authority.
A council that watches over what everybody can and can't do in the area that they live in.
There's probably rules there. You probably know that. If you're just somebody who owns a house on a street in a municipality, you can probably dig up your backyard and grow vegetables. Now, again, like Joey said, sometimes you just do what you're going to do and nobody's going to bother you. If you got Nosy Ned next door who's going to watch every move you make, you might want to know the law. It's kind of really up to you. The biggest thing is that, A, if you have a housing authority, HOA, whatever it is, you're going to know because you, I'm pretty sure you.
In that situation, you should call first before you.
Right. But you already know, like, because they're probably telling you your
mailbox
shutters,
is 1 inch too tall and all that other
stuff. Your
shutters
need to match your front door, whatever. So you probably know that. But two, if you do have a nosy Ned that's going to harp at you and be like, oh, those sunflowers are too tall, keep in mind that you might want to know the laws. But the other thing is that if you are going to dig,
or if you're going to do it, get a written permission from the HOA saying, I have been given permission and have everybody sign it that I can grow a vegetable and I can have things this high and all that. If you really want to stick it to nosy
anyway,
Ned over there.
Yeah. As I was saying, I'm talking about not HOAs.
Right.
I'm talking about just a
just
nosy
general.
Ned.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, you also want to, either way, no matter what you do, you want to call Digger's Hotline. Mm-hmm. And that's important because you don't want to cause problems for yourself, your neighbors. You don't want to go digging and all of a sudden find a power line and maybe you might not be digging anymore. So
we didn't know how many things were in our front yard.
Yeah, we found there was a ton. So that's the biggest thing is calling Digger's Hotline. But it is good to know your rights, your legalities, CYA, you know, cover your, you know what.
Yeah.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.